listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
What you want? You a house, you a car, 40 acres and a mule, a piano, a guitar, anything. See, my name is Uncle Sam, not your dog. Motherfucker, you can live at the mall. I know you're kind, that's why I'm kind. Don't have receipts. Oh man, that's fine. Pay me later. Wear those gaiters. Cliche and say fuck your haters. I can see the bottle in you. I can see the dollar in you. Little white lies, but it's no white collar in you. But it's whatever though, because I'm still following you. Because you make me feel, because you make me live forever, baby. Count it all together, baby. They hit the register, make me feel better, baby. Your horoscope is a Gemini, two sides. So you better cop everything two times. Two coupes, two chains, two C notes. Too much ain't enough, both we know. Christmas, tell them what's on your wish list. Get it all, you deserve it, Kendrick. And when you get the White House, do you. But remember, you ain't passed economics in school. Everything you buy, taxes with a nigh. I'll Wesley snipe your ass before 35. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Test Podcast. Podcast, your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Monday afternoon.
Yes,
we didn't do a show yesterday. Didn't feel like it. It was busy.
We watched Game of Thrones. Well, we did watch Game of Thrones. We watched Avengers for the second time at like 7:30.
Yeah,
and so, it was jumping.
Yeah, so it was good times. Just took a day off. If anything, yeah, hopefully you took the time to listen to the interview that I did on Friday for Medium Talk with Kareem Taylor. So hopefully you guys got your environmental justice on.
I'm glad y'all did, because I took a nap. Roger came in, I was gone.
Well, all right. Karen just wanted to announce that she took a nap, but
yes,
I wanted to announce that I did a very important interview that was about environmental justice, and hopefully some of y'all got educated and woke and activated and was like, how do I contribute to my local environmental justice movement? So, you know, hopefully you are woke and not sleep. Okay. You did not nap through my
and not sleep interview. Like me.
The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport,
Bulletball
and Bulletball Extreme. And you can find this podcast everywhere you find podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, all that stuff. So make sure you leave those 5-star reviews. We like reading them on the show, and you guys are so nice when you write them.
Yes.
If they're not nice or they're not 5 stars, we won't read them on the show.
Mm-mm.
All right, let's get into the news. A lot of stuff is happening today. I guess the big news for Black people, John Singleton died today. He had a stroke last week. He was taken off of life support. His family confirmed his death in a statement, according to the Associated Press. So yeah, he had a stroke April 17th, and then they took him off of life support today. There was a lot of people reporting he was dead early. Like, I don't know, you know, how TMZ gets their news and stuff. Not that I doubt them, really. They normally are pretty accurate, but sometimes they kill a motherfucker and it's like, they not dead yet.
They still around. I heard he went into a coma.
Yeah, he went into a coma and he was unresponsive, and so they took him off life support, and so he passed. Of course, you know, for us that you know, lovers of Blackness, you know, he made some pretty big hits. You know, I can't ever forget Boys in the Hood,
right?
You know, that's like, I think it's also that timing thing too, because there's certain people that become the building blocks for others.
Yes.
And I think it's easy for us to like mock the shortcomings or, you know, whatever of the earlier stuff, right? It's like the kind of realization I had about respectability politics, and how at one point, you know, everything we call respectable was revolutionary.
Yes, it was.
Maybe it's not anymore, but that's the building blocks of life. Now we look at that stuff and we go, well, I'm not putting on this suit because I already know the game. But there was a time where they didn't know the game, and where we were being denied the right to put on a suit.
Right.
And so we look back at some of the stuff and we're like, oh, this is cliche now. This is, I'm tired. I'm over it. And I think movies are that way too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now we look at the hood movie, the coming up movie, the struggle movie, blah, blah, blah. And it's kind of like, this ain't shit. But at the time that he did that, that was kind of groundbreaking.
Yes, it was.
You know, and that's probably the one that I remember the most, is Boys in the Hood, because it was so, like, it just rocked there for Black people anyway. I can't say for white people. I don't know if it got nominated for anything, but it definitely like rocked everybody's world at the time.
Agreed.
And then it just became like the building block for so many other movies, you know, Menace to Society and mm-hmm. all these other movies about like hood tales and trying to get out. Poetic Justice, of course.
Yes. Tupac. Janet was in that.
Yeah, Tupac, Janet.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody remembers that joint. If you're a certain age, you know. I still remember because Q-Tip got killed in the movie in like the opening scene. I'm just like, man, all the hood movies, somebody gotta die.
Mm-hmm.
Higher Learning, which is just like a ridiculously over the top, like it's a movie that highlighted racial tensions in college, that it, at the same time as being relevant, it was also such a hyperbole.
Yes.
But if you look at that movie in hindsight, it predicted a lot of what we go through now.
Yes, it does.
Like it, at the time, it felt almost like laughably over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Look at, go back. I question y'all, like, go back and look at that. Think about what he was talking about then. The radicalization of white men, it, young white men on these, in this campus that ends with a mass shooting. Targeting black people and killing a black woman. Like I think she died. I can't remember if Tyra Banks' character died or not, but she definitely got shot.
Yeah, she got shot.
And like I like, you know, like the racial tensions, like that's all back. You know, at the time it felt like maybe this is too on the nose. It's too much. No one's like this. And now you're like, I don't know, man. This shit is back. You know, and it's covering sexual assault on campus. You know, like this movie covered a lot of the darker sides of higher learning, and it's kind of funny that to think about that movie today and be like, yo, that was a bit prophetic. But I feel like that's what is happening to racism now.
Yep.
Is that with the resurgence of racism, I'm not saying it ever went away, but like it is clearly emboldened under Trump.
Yes, it is.
Things are really mirroring the Spike Lee's and John Singleton's of the world.
Yeah, because you have to think, you come from, a lot of people from our generation, racism is always there, but racism isn't as blunt when I was growing up as it is now. Like now it's literally, you can't run, you can't hide, we are here. We're not gonna talk about you behind in our little closed groups. We're gonna tell you in your face. We're gonna attack you. Mm-hmm. It's a little different. A lot of our older people, older than me, have experienced things like that. So it was a period of time where a lot of our generation, not trying to funny, kind of frowned up, was like, "Oh, this shit is stupid. We don't have to deal with that no more." Like a lot of youth mm-hmm. does. We don't have to deal with that no more. We've come a long way. Why would we go back? You know, I would never put up with that and all that other dumb shit the youth says. When in reality, now you're going, well, I thought it was stupid, but it really wasn't that stupid. You know, when you sit back and you think about it now.
Well, it's also just prophetic. Like, times came around to make ideas that people found to be over the top and to be like, nah, that's not over the top anymore. Because at the time, you know, the niggas and Jews sticking together, you're like, oh man, this is almost funny. It's almost comical how ridiculous this is going over the top. And now right. It's like, oh yeah, people shoot up campuses all the time. Like that was done at a time when people weren't doing that.
Mm-mm.
Like that, it was a shocking ending to the movie, the fact that there's a shooting of a campus. Now we're like, there's a campus shooting every day.
Somewhere.
Rosewood, another racial movie that, you know, ahead of its time.
Rosewood was a lot, yes.
Shaft, which is an underrated, funny ass movie, man. And they got a sequel to it just coming out in this year, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Baby Boy, which for me is a comedy.
Baby Boy is a comedy. Didn't Taraji was in that?
Taraji and Tyrese.
Mm-hmm.
And Snoop Dogg kicking over that boy's toys. Sport. I don't like you either. I hate you. I hate you too, little nigga. I think that's how it was, but oh man, that was my shit. But yeah, Baby Boy was a classic, you know. Jody, I guess in a way it's still, once again, relevant today because the infantilization of the young black male who blames all the people around him for all his misfortune while at the same time expecting them to pick up the slack in his life, and the ne'er-do-well shit and the cycles that repeat themselves. I mean, kind of relevant, kind of still going on.
Come on, scrub. Built you a little fort, huh? Fuck about your little fort, nigga. Forces have
reclaimed. I hate you. Enemy
strongholds. I hate you too, little nigga. You ain't my son.
Oh.
Debbie admit that. I hate you.
I hate you too, little nigga. But then he had some TV series he did, American Crime Story, Empire, Rebel, Billions, Snowfall, which is a classic.
I've never seen it, but you said it's
not
really
enough
good.
People are watching this. Me and Justin talk about this shit all the time on pregame. But it's like a must watch series for me. And once again, taking shit that is quote unquote hood shit and put in the proper context and spin on it, where you're not just romanticizing it and you're not necessarily just lionizing it, but you're also like making it socially relevant. And you know, that was something that he was really gifted at doing. So you know, rest in peace, man. He put a lot of he made a lot of dope shit for a lot of people. So hate to hear he passed. Let's see what else is going on. Twitter's Jack Dorsey. Jack is the guy who is the CEO of Twitter.
Okay.
He called after he met with Trump, he called Congresswoman Ilhan Omar to talk about a tweet where Trump mischaracterized her comments about 9/11 in a video and told her that it doesn't break Twitter's rules.
Right, nothing breaks their rules unless you're black. Then you can break the rules. Nothing white people say can break the rules.
He directly told Representative Ilhan Omar during a phone call Tuesday that he stands by his decision to allow Donald Trump's tweets to targeted the congresswoman and later resulted in a wave of death threats against her. The call, first reported Thursday by the Washington Post, revolved around a video Trump tweeted on April 12th. The video alternates between footage of 9/11 terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center and out of context remarks by Omar from a speech last month about the border issue, the broader issue of Islamophobia. The video was an attempt to mischaracterize her as being dismissive of the tragedy. Omar asked Dorsey to explain his reasoning behind Twitter not removing Trump's tweet, according to the Post. Dorsey reportedly said the tweet did not violate the company's rules and that the incendiary video had already been viewed and shared beyond Twitter's platform. So then that means you can contribute to it? Because, I mean, a lot of stuff goes beyond your platform. I will take it down.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, they don't see nothing wrong with it. And also, it goes to show that a lot of white people that are white radicals and white nationalists sound like a lot of Republicans, and because they can't tell the difference, they like, well, we can't ban politicians. Who you can if you want to, you just opt not to.
Yeah, this is the false middle that people keep romanticizing, right? There's always this falsehood of there's a middle ground between bigotry and not bigotry, right? It's like, well, if we have to get rid of white supremacists, we have to get rid of Republicans. Yeah, then they should have to go, because Republicans should not be a white supremacist. They should not be on your platform promoting white supremacy. It doesn't matter that they're an elected official. You're working backwards. That's why Trump is flourishing there, and that's why so many people are still on there that are hateful people, is because
right,
they work backwards. They go, this person exists and they have a position of authority, we want them on our platform.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore whatever they do is not going to violate the rules.
Mm-mm.
Because them being on the platform is more important than our rules. Like, the rules are really just arbitrary things,
right? And they implement them when they feel like it, how they feel like it, and they have a tendency to implement them more towards brown people and and more towards, you know, activists and things like
that. If Trump was tweeting like kill all the niggers, they would let that stay because he's the president, and because the it's more important than them to have the president on Twitter as his number one media platform than it is to say this is wrong and it doesn't matter who says it. We should not allow this from anyone.
Agreed. And also is one of those things too, to where, you know, one period of time it was trying to set a platform, nobody's going to buy this platform in this shape, because they would actually come through and like revamp all the rules, and a lot of the freedoms that people have would literally be stripped away because they was like, this is not profitable.
Yeah. So so while she got death threats over it, they still go, and it doesn't do it, doesn't mess, violate any rules,
right? Because it's real easy for you to make a decision like that when you've never been on the side being harassed. Like, a lot of people that make these decisions, they've never fucking been harassed.
And so, maybe, like, what's funny though is, Karen, at this point, Jack Dorsey has definitely been harassed on his own platform. That's definitely happened. But he's white. He's a white man.
Right.
It just ain't gonna hit the same. It ain't gonna be the same type of threats. It ain't gonna be, he won't feel necessarily endangered from those tweets. And if he does, he will hire security. Mark Zuckerberg has immense security. Like, people don't know this stuff, but these like CEO tech bros are so fucking rich at this point, they have like around the clock security making sure they're okay, you know, because people will do stuff like kill you, kidnap your family. You never know what kind of deranged person is on your platform, so they're protected.
Right, you don't give a fuck about nobody else though.
Yeah, they're protected. So they know the danger of the public figure, and they do. The point I want to make is that they take the harassment seriously because they're protected. So they know what it means. They just don't care. You know? So he said that they do need to do a better job of weeding out hate and harassment.
Why lie? You don't care. Why lie? You do what job? What, you don't care.
Right. Like, what's that gonna do? So the president can say, target this person, essentially lie on this person, and then we just need to do a better job of deleting the accounts that send you harassing things. Well, no, you have a place where you can send people after someone else, and of course Trump is the best at it. You know, when I talk about social media, man, I know people probably roll their eyes or get a little tired of sitting hearing some of this shit, but I don't really give a fuck, frankly. It's our show, and what are you gonna do? Just don't listen to it. But it's funny how when I talk about it, I'm like, yo, you have to be careful with it because it really does have the tools that reward narcissism, megalomania, you know, all these things. And the people that are like, have a natural knack for like dominating it, a lot of them are fucked up.
Yes, they are.
You know what I mean? Your people with millions of followers, hundreds of thousands of followers and shit. Like, if you look at the patterns of their behavior, a lot of their stuff is like, I'm going to like dominate this by being the most incendiary, fucked up type of person. If I have an idea, how do I express that idea in the most fucked up way? Like, well, you know what I mean? Like, how can I make this idea be the thing that will make a million people upset? Because everybody has ideas all the time. But it is a gift to be able to express it in a way that picks up traction.
Yes,
people say the same shit all the time, same thoughts, blah blah blah, but it's not until you say the shit in a way that's going to make everybody mad or whatever, clap. And you think about someone like Trump, man, he had managed to really be a star on social media before he was even president.
Yes,
and he's still upset that he doesn't have as many followers as like Obama because he's not a unifying figure. But he knows how to get the right amount of people riled up. And so Jack Dorsey's meeting with him because it's important to him to address Trump's concerns. And by the way, one of his concerns was Obama got more followers than me still. Right.
The fuck you.
And he was upset that Twitter had even gotten rid of some of the spam, Russian, all that type of stuff accounts because it cut down on his followers significantly. Because he keeps up with that. Right, yeah, like this is the motherfucker we put the hands of the world in the hands of. And yeah, to see them talk about, well, we just need to worry about the hate and harassing that people are getting, dog, you're talking to the harasser, hate monger in chief, saying he is important and you don't want to keep him off of your platform. you can't do both at the same time. You can't say, we need you here, but we don't need the people who support you here. We don't need the people who want to do your bidding here. It's an impossible thing to do, because there's nothing you can allow him to do that you can turn around and then be like, but other people, if they do it, it's wrong. Because then you're basically admitting that it's wrong for him to do it. And you can't have both things exist at once. So that video, they have to make an excuse for it. I just wonder how far they would have let him go, because I think he could go way further than this, and it just hasn't gotten there yet. One of the things also I like to mention, it's not in this article, but there was a shooting of a synagogue on the 6-month anniversary of another shooting of another synagogue in Pittsburgh, I believe. I saw people online that were blaming Ilhan Omar for it because of her tweet from 2 months ago at this point that said something that people deemed to be anti-Semitic, tracking in anti-Jewish stereotypes. Like I said, I don't know enough about anti-Semitism to say definitively no, it's not, you know. I think a lot of people kind of interlope into that. I think we can't really speak to say what something isn't necessarily, but I know it was hotly debated, and I know she apologized.
She did.
Okay. I remember Chelsea Clinton was upset, not even upset, she was asked about it, and she answered like, yo, look, because the person was like, she's not American or whatever, or this is un-American, I feel this way about it. And Chelsea Clinton answered, as an American, I support Ilhan, but, and she did apologize, so blah blah blah. And people went, oh, Chelsea Clinton that's Islamophobic for you to say as an American. What you trying to say is like, well, what about context? Context don't matter on Twitter. Okay,
it never matters.
Highlighting this for a reason. I remember Chelsea Clinton going to that memorial and having that woman get in her face, mm-hmm. and people like caping for that woman, defending that woman, all that stuff, like making Chelsea Clinton out to be the bad guy. She shouldn't have went, even though she was invited. She's a faith leader, literally in that city. Like, she's a leader of an organization. Y'all like, don't come. She was supposed to say no, don't come. And then, as if y'all wouldn't have spun her saying, I'm not coming, into this is why this bitch is terrible.
Yeah, it's a lose-lose situation. That's right. Why people go, fuck y'all, and just do whatever they want to do.
Right. So she showed up, and people were like, y'all worry about her being pregnant, and y'all worry about this. And it's like, we're just looking at it, and can't we... So I can't look at that and be like, I actually don't agree with that woman yelling at Chelsea Clinton, and I think she's wrong for that. Not even yelling, for just coming at her like that. I just think it's wrong, and I think it's wrong for the person in the background shouting. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of y'all are at that point can argue that y'all are there for the memorial. Y'all seem to be there to get a viral video hating, shitting on this woman.
Right.
Right? And everybody cherry-picked the optics of afterwards, right? The tweet she had about it, and the GoFundMe links and all that. People just ignore what they people are so fucking divided and crazy at this point. They just ignore all evidence to the contrary of their point of view. And you just have to hope they come back around later and go, oh, I guess I was a little, that was an intense day. I was kind of flipping and flopping a lot. But no, that didn't happen. No. Anyway, so I bring all that up in the context of motherfuckers was blaming Ilhan for the synagogue shooting. To me, this feels as fucking ridiculous as blaming Chelsea Clinton for the shooting of the New Zealand mosque.
Yes.
I don't know what is wrong with people on Twitter. I don't know what is wrong with social media, but there is something fucking wrong when you see these tragedies that are done by people that are not subscribers to Ilhan, they are not subscribers to Chelsea Clinton. I'm sure they hate their fucking guts. These are not people that agree with them on the ideological spectrum about anything.
Mm-mm.
And yet we can't, it's like we can't fucking wait to like find a way to blame somebody.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Doing that, like, you're anti-Semitic. And I'm not talking Republicans and fucking MAGA hat. I'm talking Democrat liberal people on Twitter going, Ilhan Omar, you see the cost of your anti-Semitic tweets? And I'm like, yo, what the fuck is wrong with everyone? It's like we have to make everything as messy and fucked up as possible sometimes.
Yes, because for a lot of people, it distracts them from their own real lives.
Yeah, that's just crazy to me, man. Like, I don't even comment on these things when I see them. Honestly, mm-hmm. I get that it's just not worth talking to these type of motherfuckers, but
it's not.
Like, I really will see that shit and be like, everybody on this bitch need like some type of help. You need to talk to like a professional. You need to walk away. Some of these problems that people be having, it's like this, you shouldn't be having problems every single day about every single thing. Like, you can't leave your house without coming back to like write a Twitter thread hyperventilating about it. Like, at some point it's you know. And that's kind of like the thing I was noticing. Like I said, it's not even about trying to come at these people, because like part of the things that people are doing is for the attention. They don't care if it's good or bad.
Yes.
So you coming at them and being like, well, what you saying is kind of fucked up, they're just gonna keep going. Nobody backs down. Nobody goes, I didn't think of it from that perspective.
Nobody apologizes.
Yeah, it's why I love this space that we have created with me and you. I know it's an illusion of other people getting to chime in too, but it's really me and you,
right?
And I like that we get to talk to each other, because the thing that nobody can really take away from what we do is we operate in good faith with each other. You know, so you say something, I don't assume, well, Karen's saying that because she's a terrible fucking person and she just cancel Karen. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, well, maybe she means it this way. Okay, let me ask her a question.
Yeah, and I'm not offended or upset when you ask questions. But right. Like you say, because of the relationship and everything is good, in good faith, you question to me, I don't take it as an attack when a lot of people do, and it just causes more confrontation.
Yeah, like this weekend, everybody was complaining about Endgame spoilers and all this shit. And I said, like Thursday or something, I said, look, I'm gonna be real. It's not worth it. Just log the fuck off of Twitter, delete it off your phone, wait, come back when you've seen the movie. It's not worth thinking that millions of people who can easily infiltrate your feed, millions, I'm not even talking about adding you, just someone retweeting someone, someone making a mm-hmm. joke, something innocuous, something they should be allowed to do if we're being honest. Because you're depending on the charity of humanity to organize around a circle around everyone and be like, no one's gonna be a dick this weekend. You know it's not gonna happen.
Come on.
It's like you want to something bad to happen to you, you know. And so I tweeted out like, yo dog, if you can read this tweet, just delete the shit.
Yeah, just get off social media.
It's not worth it. If you really right. looking forward to this movie that much, and I know it's a big debacle to get tickets, and I know people don't like when you say that shit, but I'm telling you, you're wasting your breath every time you tell somebody to hold off on spoilers. You are wasting your fucking breath. Just tell the other people who will get spoiled to, maybe they'll listen to you and log off.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, and nobody wants to admit it, but you don't have to be there. So people are going to be there. People are going to engage. That's the social part of social media. And you know, regardless if you think it's right, wrong, or unjust, at any time you could just stay off of social media.
Yeah, man. So I'm just hop off. It's okay. And what I was saying is, you might have your life improved by it. I know I have.
Same.
You know, like those breaks that I take now, it's like, oh man, I'm glad I do these. You know, I don't even really announce them and shit. I need some time. You know, because a lot of times it really helps you get that perspective and balance yourself, because we're taking in all this information. We're really not meant to take in all this shit all the time.
No, we're not. Like Saturday, this Saturday was the first Saturday, but we had nothing planned. So you were able to go spend time with your friends. I was able to go spend time with my family. And it was, I didn't know how much it was needed. I mean, it was truly needed.
Well, even with that to me, that's not really the same as taking a social media break. But
correct.
Yeah, I do try to do stuff like that more often, to be honest, because that's kind of stuff that, you know, people are supposed to do. I mean, it shouldn't be controversial to say, but it's something that you're supposed to do. Like, I was talking to my boys at the basketball today. Well, I had another game winning walk-off shot, but you know, things happen, guys. It's just been that type of 2 weeks. I don't know what's going on. And yes, I did do the Dame Lillard face, and yes, I did do the goodbye, and yes, the other team was salty. They were salty as shit. But anyway, we was talking to on the way out, and someone had brought up like this video or something, or somebody like this like viral video thing, and I was like, yeah, it's crazy how much like the barrier of having a phone between you and another person can really just turn that person's life into entertainment.
Agreed.
You know, I was like, it's just say something about us that when something starts to happen And I think I'm just aged out. This is not to say I'm better than anybody. Mm-mm. Literally, I just didn't have these tools in my hands long as a higher percentage of my life yet as other people have.
Right.
So I know that it's some of this I may never come around on, but the idea of I see something catastrophic happen and pull my phone out is not something that registers with me automatically. Like, same. I would actually need to think about it, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes I worry that, because I'm like, if something racist happens to me, I actually hope I do have the wherewithal to put my fucking phone out.
Me too, because but I honestly, wouldn't even think about it.
It's honestly sometimes the only thing saving people's lives, the only thing to saving people in court is, oh yeah, I have a record of this person, this cop doing something racist to me, because other than that, it's your word against theirs and nobody gonna believe a nigga. So it was kind of interesting that we were talking, you know, we were talking about that, and that's kind of how it feels. It's like the humanity is just kind of stripped out for people on this shit, and then you end up with, taking it full circle, people blaming a tweet from Ilhan Omar for some fucking nut killing people, blaming Chelsea Clinton for some fucking nut. You know she didn't say that, you know she didn't agree with it. And what is even worse is there are people on that platform with Jack Dorsey's approval, apparently,
come on,
spouting the things that literally are being cited by these killers in their manifestos, in their own words, in their videos. And somehow we've just given up that fight. Like, that fight is just, they're gonna be that way, and they're allowed freedom of speech to be on these platforms. And instead, you're turning on Chelsea Clinton and Ilhan Omar. That's the kind of full circle duality of shit that I be waiting on to happen, because I'm like, it's going to happen. So whenever you hear me talk about, like, Chelsea Clinton and somebody get tight in their chest with some, oh, so you gonna defend a white woman? No, I'm defending the goddamn principle of the shit, because it's gonna flip the other way sooner or later, because everything in life does. And where you were standing that time better be where the fuck you standing now, because if not, it's some real hypocritical bullshit. It was fucked up when it was Chelsea. It's fucked up with its Ilhan. Period. Those women are not telling people to fucking kill people.
Oh no, no.
And
no,
just because it's gonna get you some hot tweets and that shit is stupid. Like, the impulse to even do that is just so dangerous and so misguided and fucked up. And people just need to do those things so they can get some attention. And it's scary to think that that is a common practice on the internet. Right now, as I'm speaking, somebody's taking someone out of context to be like, and this is why the fuck I don't fuck with you. It's crazy. People just work backwards. All right, let's see what else we got. Bill Cosby, back in the news. This time he's upset by his insurance company. He's insured by AIG. He said in a statement Saturday that the insurance company paid a defamation settlement without my knowledge, without my permission, and without my consent to about seven women who had accused him of sexual misconduct.
That makes no sense. I don't believe you.
What don't you believe? That they paid him?
Why would they pay without your consent? Mm-hmm. Like,
can we just? There's many questions I have. That's not one of them. The question I have is, why you got rape insurance, dog?
Come on,
you got rape insurance? Is this a thing?
Apparently it is.
Do you walk into an office, can I have rape insurance? I'm expecting a bunch of women be accusing me of sexual assault. And,
I mean, what is my deductible?
I may have to pay some settlements. So I would like to set up a monthly payment arrangement so that if in case and in fact I do find myself to be liable for these damages, you would pay those. Is that what he got rape insurance?
Apparently it's a thing.
That's how car insurance works, right?
Right. Just in case, bitch.
Like, this dude is basically like, I can't believe y'all paid out claims to seven people that I ran my car into. I did not consent to this. And ironically, they did not consent to the things I did. So you would think maybe it came full circle. In a statement, he said that the settlement showed that the insurance company paid come on, get the fuck. I'm reading ahead like y'all can see it too. My bad. He said that the insurance company was part of the corruption against him.
What?
AIG showed that they're part of their corruption against me by paying off these distractors. Without my knowledge, without my permission, without my consent, AIG's egregious behavior will be frowned upon by many customers. They have proven that they do not have the best interests of their clients in mind, which will cause them to lose an overwhelming amount of business. Because if it happened to him, it could happen to any of us.
So a claim was filed. Insurance company did whatever the policy was. Found out you did that shit and paid, right? Like that's normally how insurance works, right? They take it, go through their process, and go, oh, okay, you're eligible for da-da-da, and they paid.
Sir, where are you complaining from? Where are you writing these statements from?
From fucking jail.
What are you in jail for? Jaywalking? Is that what happened? That part of the conspiracy? Fuck out of here, man.
Did he max out his claim? You know how sometimes they be like, well, look, we only gonna pay for so much, and then we got to drop you from the policy.
He said other customers. Like, there are, who else got rape insurance?
Who are these other people?
Who else is IAG insuring for rape insurance?
I go ahead and put me on that dick insurance. Yeah, I got that dick insurance.
I'm gonna need rape insurance. It's not even dick insurance. It's literally fucking rape insurance. Who else is R. Kelly on the plan? Darren Sharper on the plan. Who else?
Weinstein.
Motherfucker talking about, yeah, y'all gonna lose customers. Other people got car insurance. They not worried about this.
They got health insurance.
Home ownership insurance. They not worried about this shit.
Accidental insurance.
Yeah, they not like, oh man, my rape insurance premium's gonna go up way they paying all this motherfucking Bill Cosby money out.
They got the insurance to say, if I suddenly die, and my family covered insurance, and you like, I want the rape insurance.
If anything, I'm leaving AIG because I don't want to be on the same insurance as the rapist niggas. Like, no, right? Thank you. I didn't know they were even fucking insuring people like you. I'm good. That's the only way.
Is there levels? You get the 100, 200, 300 plan, gold, right. Silver, bronze. What the fuck is this?
Well, some of them just have collision insurance for
collision. You want collision and liability,
right? Some people got liability. Depend on the state, really. AIG showed that they're part of corruption. He added, I, Bill Cosby, will never settle any defamation claim. I will continue to pursue my counterclaims, and I will not relinquish AIG from its responsibility in defending my defamation claims. That's why I paid my premiums on time and 11 let my policy lap. AIG's settlement of these claims in Massachusetts makes them look corrupt and exposes my innocence. Thank you very much.
He don't know how insurance works.
He probably signed that shit Cliff Huxtable.
You know he did.
Oh my God, it's crazy, man. They just paying anybody now.
Yeah, like somebody say, how do they pitch that to you? Hey, you out here raping? Well, we got an insurance policy for you.
I think they pitch it to you like the same way they pitch everything else. Where it's like, since we already got your car insurance, you probably
let's bundle it up. You can save some money.
You can save 15% if you bundle up homeowner insurance. And looking at your track record, you might want to throw some rape insurance on there too,
along with the flood.
You're gonna definitely need this. They should fire whoever gave them this,
right?
Because it's like, we gonna have to pay these. We know for a fact we paying these claims,
and we supposed to deny. You know this was a bad investment.
Like, you need to find somebody with some false accusations, not somebody with some proven ones. The fuck? Oh man, that premium must have been so high.
Oh, you know it was ridiculous.
He's like, what did he get a mail in? He got a bill in prison. Oh man, these deductibles are ridiculous. Get the fuck out of here, man. Oh my God. Speaking of rapists, R. Kelly's lawyers say singer's inability to read and understand legal documents led to a default judgment where he didn't show up in court. Yeah, he lost a sexual abuse lawsuit brought against him by one of his alleged victims, Heather Williams, and now his lawyers are claiming that it's due to the confusion of all legal cases he's dealing with currently. According to TMZ, Kelly's legal team claims the singer is overwhelmed and had no idea what he was reading when he was served with papers related to the case while he was in jail, so his lawyers intend to fight the judgment.
Y'all job should have been to read it to him. That's y'all fault.
In the lawsuit, which comes after the 10-count indictment for aggravated criminal sexual assault brought against him earlier this year, the victim, Heather Williams, claimed that she was sexually abused by Kelly when she was 16 years old. Williams' attorney initially made several attempts to serve the singer and send a legal letter to Kelly in an effort to settle the case out of court, but since Kelly never bothered to respond, her lawyers forged ahead with the lawsuit. Kelly's civil attorney, Brian Nix, told TMZ that being overwhelmed coupled with Mr. Kelly not being cognizant of what the motion fully meant led him to missing the hearing. I had no idea what he had been served. So basically he can't read and he just took the papers and didn't understand them.
I don't know what to tell you, dog. You a bad lawyer.
Yeah, or a great lawyer, because a good lawyer will pretend to be a bad one if it'll get his client off. Do that all the time.
Okay, agreed. Yeah, he probably took them papers, threw it to the side, and he was like, the fuck is this?
Yeah, so sounds like he need to get on AIG the way that
Bill Cosby did.
Sounds like he need some AIG. Wow, why would you even want to be known as the company that does that? Empire Cast pens a letter to executives for Jussie Smollett's return to the show. Well, all
right. Right.
I don't watch anymore, so I'm good.
Yeah, I didn't.
But, yeah, I mean, why not? Why not? Taraji P. Henson, Terrence Howard, Brashear Y. Gray, Trey Byers, Gabourey Sidibe, and Nicole Ari Parker all signed a letter dated April 19th to address the top dogs of the show, including Fox Entertainment CEO Charlie Collier and Disney TV Studios and ABC Entertainment Chair Dana Walden. Fox Entertainment President Michael Thorne, as well as Empire creators Lee Daniels and Danny Strong. Well, all right, man. I hope he gets the job back, to be honest.
Same.
And that does not mean I don't think he was in on that hoax.
Right.
I just don't care.
Don't care.
Yeah. Be honest about it. Don't really give a fuck. I mean, it's like they both framed guilty parties. He framed the Chicago PD, who did turn out to be racist. And they tried to frame a man who clearly did it. So I don't know. Like, no harm, no foul. Everybody go back to their mutual sides. Call a tech on each side and... y'all can stay in the game. Nobody's ejected.
Right.
Good luck on the set, bro. That's crazy. And then, like, I can't blame his job for being like, this nigga did it. We don't want him working here. But they misread the room. Because if they would have known them charges were going to get dropped, they would have been like, we see you at work. Like, see you on Monday. Like, I'm sure they would have done the shit totally different if they had known it was, you know, they had
They heard them charges stuff. They was like, ooh.
Yeah. Like, them charges was bad. And then, like, the evidence looked real bad. And the way shit was leaking, it wasn't like they left a lot up to, you know, to the imagination. It was like, these big niggas are buying MAGA hats. And they did go to the spot the day before and do a practice run at the same exact place the beating had. Like, at 3 a.m. in the fucking blizzard, like, when no one's outside. Like, it was a lot of shit. I see how they went, we need to just not, they thought they were clear of the shit by letting him go.
Yeah.
But turned out, joke's on you, when the prosecutor dropped them charges, y'all actually made yourselves more of a problem. Cause people are like, you siding with the police and shit like that, and you know y'all don't really want them problems. Not for this show.
They probably will be back.
Yeah, they need to just let them come back. I hope this all fake too, by the way. I'm gonna be honest. I actually hope that Taraji P. Henson and all them, like, and even Lee Daniels, I hope they all are on board with, like, we want him back on the show. But the only way it's gonna happen is we're gonna have to make it seem like his coworkers want him back on the show. And the higher ups, we were like, oh, I guess if his coworkers want him back. But hopefully everybody's sitting around like, we don't really care, Jesse, and we're not giving you a raise. So if that's what you did it for, you getting the same pay.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can come back and work. Oh man. At this point though, wait a minute. Now I think about it, he might could get a raise, because this shit gonna be the most highly anticipated episode of Empire ever when he come back. So in a way, he kind of did finesse it. Like, you know, I get it, it's gonna offend some sensibilities because he was playing with lightning, and I know that some of y'all still in the Jussie hive that's out there like, no, it's a vast conspiracy from the top down to get Jussie Smollett. Hey, whatever y'all believe, cool. I don't feel like arguing about it either way.
No,
but I don't think anyone can argue that if he gets his job back, this episode will definitely be one of the highest ratings of all time.
Oh yeah, people come back just to see him come back.
Yeah, so you almost do have to give him a raise. I mean, just the numbers are the numbers. As a Negro philosopher Maxwell once said, check the numbers, bitch.
Check them.
And I believe these numbers will be checked, and he will have created a market where he is more valuable than he was before. So bravo. Your fave could never. By the way, the brothers, the Nigerian brothers who beat him up, are suing Jussie Smollett's lawyers for defamation. Last month, Chicago prosecutors dropped all the charges, we know that much, for against Jussie Smollett. Although city officials were convinced the actor staged his own attack with the help of a friend, Abel Ansidiaro and his brother Ola. Smollett, the actor, maintained his position as the victim as his lawyer placed the blame on the Nigerian brothers. But now, just weeks later, the two brothers who participated in the alleged attack are suing Smollett's lawyers for defamation. Court documents obtained by the blast of Abel and Ola have filed a suit against attorney Mark Garagos, his law firm, and his associate, Tina Glandian, who reportedly represented Smollett in Chicago, for making public defamatory statements against the plaintiffs, which were published broadly in Illinois by major news outlets. Moreover, these torturous statements involve a hoax conducted in Illinois, orchestrated by Mr. Smollett. Finally and importantly, these statements also impacted the reputation of plaintiffs who are employed and live in Illinois. The men addressed the fact that Smollett's attorneys accused them of carrying out the hateful act and highlighted another instance in which the Guardian suggested that her client had engaged in homosexual sex acts with Abel, which is illegal in his country. Well, I don't even remember that part of this story. I don't know where shit comes from in this story. Do y'all
it's a twist like Empire. Who knows what's happening here?
I don't even remember anything about them being lovers or implied alleged sexual acts.
I don't know where I was when they was writing the script.
As a result of Mrs. Glandian's comments, plaintiffs have suffered significant emotional distress and feel unsafe and alienated in their local Chicago community. This is because Miss Glandian, a very famous attorney, falsely and publicly stated plaintiffs have committed a gruesome hate crime, lied under oath, and intentionally misled the CPD. You niggas bought the hat. I saw that.
It was on camera.
What? Is everyone scamming in this bitch?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, everyone can't be scamming at the same.
Everybody was Joanne the scammer.
It's like everyone got a scam, but nobody talked to each other. Mm-mm. Okay, my scam gonna be that we are being framed by you to be the hate crimers. And while you are then saying that you are being framed by hate crimers with the police to frame you for being a victim of hate crime. See what I'm saying? No, we don't. This will make a horrible movie because the plot don't make sense. It's too many plots. Good grief.
Terrible writing. Terrible.
And then they also said the lawyer saying that they gay. wait. That Ola is gay. Because for some reason,
okay,
she didn't say the other brother was gay.
Oh, so one of them is gay.
Yeah, by saying that one of them is gay, it endangers them in Nigeria. Ms. Glandian's statements indicated plaintiffs actually criminally battered Mr. Smollett without his consent are patently false. If you did it with his consent, it's still fucked up. What does it matter? Just go away, man. What does it matter?
Nope, this plot is forever twisting and turning. You ain't know.
He can send it to us. No, listen, we're not the type of people that would do a hate crime, an unprovoked hate crime on a gay man, black man in Chicago. That's not, you have us wrong, ma'am, and you have impugned our credibility. Now, we are the type of Nigerian brothers that you can hire to consensually beat you up and like make a hoax of a hate crime, that we will cop to. But anything else, and you besmirch my honor, madam, and I will see you in court. What is happening?
I don't know.
the fuck out of here, man. Oh my god, I cannot believe that's their excuse. Yeah, we didn't do it without his consent, I know that much. Oh god, everybody gotta go away. The Baltimore mayor flees the state after feds raid her home.
Oh, she left the state. The mayor.
Crime Town season 3s will be lit.
Oh, it sure will. They're gonna be all on top of that.
I hope it is about Baltimore though. They could really be good, to be honest. I just stumbled onto that idea just now, and I think it's a great one.
Oh, so they came to her house and she was like, I'm out.
Apparently there's like it's a whole thing with this book. She's been investigated over the sales of a children's book that she authored. And she skipped town after her house got raided by the FBI and the IRS.
Oh, so she was like, I'm never coming home again.
Even her spokesman, James Bentley, said he has no idea where she is.
She went underground. And what was in that book? I mean, it's a kid's book.
Kind of Buddy Sianski.
They should tell the kids how to make crack cocaine. What the hell was in that book that caused all this controversy?
Kind of Kwame Kilpatrick shit is going on up in Baltimore,
right?
Y'all let this woman beat all them people, because I remember the Baltimore race. Like, I didn't follow it closely, but it was mad niggas in that vying for that mayoral seat. You know, like, she beat everybody, and then this is what brought her down, a kid's book.
What was in that fucking kid's book?
Skipping town over a kid's book, right? Man. Yeah, Pew, who is reportedly recovering from pneumonia, was at her home when the raid began and has since left the state. Yeah.
Did she have a trap back door? So what happened? They got there and she left with pneumonia? You said that they come to the house.
She was there. There was a raid. She was there at the beginning of the raid. And then somehow she ended up out of the state.
Oh, so she was initially there.
Yes.
Okay. I thought you was like, they busting the door. She got pneumonia. She hit the back stair like Batman and went to the back cave and was like, I'm out, bitches.
What's wrong with you?
I was like, cause she got gone. Dun-dun-dun-dun. I know. I was like, what the fuck is this? Did Alfred hit the button? She is out of there.
Yeah.
You won't catch me, coppers.
They're looking at the lucrative sales of Pew's Healthy Holly series to the University of Maryland Medical System, which she was on their unpaid board of directors. So she was on that board of directors, but then she sold this book to them, and I'm assuming got money for it, which I'm sure, you know, that is frowned upon as a person on the board of directors that is supposed to be unpaid.
Okay.
She's 69. She's been on indefinite leave of absence since April 1st when calls for a state probe into her began. She claims she was taking off time to recover from a bout of pneumonia. You know, someone tried that down here.
Mm-hmm.
That dude that was involved in that voter fraud scam.
All of a sudden, he was super, super sick, and all of a sudden, he had planned surgery, and all of a sudden, he could have ran again, but all of a sudden, you know, I can't run again. You know, I'm gonna spend time.
Can't make it to work today if y'all gonna be
with my family.
Y'all gonna be having law enforcement looking for me. I'm definitely too sick for that.
Right.
The Democrat was at home at the time of the raids, but she has since left Maryland. Agents hauled boxes of Healthy Holly books out of her house while she had the books in the house. Oh my god. What?
Sell the books that she wasn't supposed to be selling. They found them in her house.
Yeah, apparently had boxes in there. Mayor Pew,
she had them in there like she was selling mixtapes.
Apparently so. Mayor Pew has lost the public interest. She's clearly not fit to lead. For the good of the city, she must resign, said Republican governor. I mean, of course.
Well, then who the mayor now? Somebody got to run the city. That bitch gone.
Maybe the mayor pro tem.
Okay.
Now they finally got to do something.
Right? I didn't plan on working.
Besides Hogan, the Baltimore City Council's Baltimore lawmakers, the House of Delegates, and the Great Baltimore Committee, a business group, have all called for a resignation. The feds also executed search warrants at the home, at the office of Pugh's lawyer, Stephen Silverman, City Hall, the Maryland Center for Adult Training, whose job program Pugh once ran, and the home of aid, the FBI confirmed. Silverman said agents served a subpoena to his office for Pugh's financial records. We will continue to vigorously defend the mayor, he told the Washington Post. Well, of course. Wow, the healthcare provider paid $500,000 to buy 100,000 copies of the book.
A book that she wasn't supposed to sell.
Apparently not. That's $500,000. I mean, I can see how that looks not good.
That's what they was like, can we see the numbers?
Yeah. Wait, why is my screen freezing?
I don't know.
Oh, God damn it. I was trying to read the rest of the article, but Firefox doesn't want to cooperate. It's like the man is trying to stop me from investigating what's happening to these books.
Hey, that kid's book was teaching them kids how to make shanks.
Shank, what? Why are you convinced that the book has some criminality in it? It didn't matter. The book probably was just a regular book. It probably wasn't even that good. Just by getting this money to her. Like, the book could have been one page. It's just here's a $500,000. You know, now I do wonder what legislation or bills or like what kind of things was she in charge of, right, that would make someone feel like $500,000 for these books was a conflict of interest.
Right.
Like, what decisions were crossing her desk where people was like, hold up now. We know that this shit ain't right, you know? But yeah, fleeing the motherfucking state seems like a pretty big leap, especially when you're the mayor,
right?
So good luck to city of Baltimore.
I don't know, they're gonna find her the town next over to the right. I don't know where they're gonna find her.
Well, they said she left the state.
Oh, so she could be anywhere.
Yeah, so she out of the state. So she's out of Maryland, so maybe she's in Virginia. Maybe she had Washington DC up at Howard Homecoming. I don't know, but and then of course this is after saying she was not lucid enough from her pneumonia to work or anything. But
she had enough energy to move around,
right,
and lead a state.
It looks real bad. I mean, this is like going to jail type shit.
Come on.
And she says she's not lucid enough to decide whether or not she should resign. But you kind of would think not being lucid enough is kind of like a sign you should just resign, even not under criminal investigation. Like, how can you be trusted to make decisions for the
eventually
city?
Eventually somebody gonna be like, that bitch ain't coming back. All right, let's decide. She ain't got no job no more. I know it got to be an expiration date, but like, look, she ain't coming back. We don't give a damn. She cannot have this position no more.
Yeah.
Who wants the job? Not her.
Yeah. They bought those copies of the book in a no bid arrangement. Between 2011 and 2018, right? Kaiser was then awarded a $48 million contract in 2017 to provide health benefits to the city workers by a spending board in which Pugh sits. Pugh did not comment, and her spokesman said he hasn't talked to her. So that was the, I guess that's where they connect the money and say, hey, $48 million for this contract. I mean, $500,000 is a small investment if you think about it from the company's perspective. Well, good luck, sis.
Good luck.
Sound like the feds is not playing.
Mm-mm, they gonna find you.
That's that Kwame Kilpatrick. I can't wait to hear them white people explaining this shit on Crime Town season 3.
It's gonna be so detailed.
I know they're gonna have some good ass beats and clips that they added over the beat.
Gonna be a good documentary.
Lil Nas X responds to Dave East. Dave East criticized Old Town Road and said that it was whack and all this shit. And Lil Nas X says, I honestly have gotten this question so many times. It's like, I have the number one song in the country. I do not give a fuck about what Dave East is saying. And Dave East was saying, that fucking Old Town Road shit is fucking whack. I don't know what the fuck is going on with hip hop, but with rap, but I ain't no hater, man. But that shit is whack with a cape on it. It's super whack. So.
Okay. Put your opinion out there.
I'm kind of on Lil Nas X side.
Yeah, he don't care, dog.
I mean, and why should he? Who gives a fuck? Y'all niggas don't care when these other whack niggas be making it. You know what I'm saying? Like, when y'all start caring about this shit? It's like somebody gets successful and then y'all motherfuckers be mad. Like, this nigga, this a one-hit wonder. Well, Dave East is a no-hit wonder. Nobody know none of his songs.
I don't know who he is. I'm not. I mean, it's I don't know who he is.
Yeah. Like, gives a fuck. Wow. You know, I saw Bo didn't. He was kind of laughing at people getting their life to it and shit. And the thing I will admit, though, is that shit does sound like he making fun of country music. I don't give a fuck what nobody say. It's actually why I like the shit. Now, he could say he not making fun of it. But, nigga, that's what you got to say after the shit become the number one hit. Like, the fuck you going to do? I am joking about these white people. Nah, you gotta be like, nah, I really sincerely just love country music and put my shit back on the chart so I keep making this money, dummies, you know. But yeah, I mean, I get that why white people wanted it off the chart. I mean, I'm not so I understand there's a lot of black people that's like, the history of racism and this is racist to take it off the chart.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna go that far just because I think most of us listening to it laugh because we was like, this is how white people be making them songs, and it's funny because it's kind of mocking them,
right? And we should be able to benefit from it too. I don't care I
just don't think that white people have a understanding that black people been listening to mock shit about us our whole lives, and if it's jamming, then it's jamming. Weird Al Yankovic been getting played on black stations, mm-hmm, my whole life, because it's like, if the shit jamming, it's jamming. Okay, he got eat it instead of beat it. Okay, let's listen to that. You know, you ain't fat, you ain't nothing. We all remember that video.
Mm-hmm.
Black people, we have a better sense of humor about our shit. Y'all don't want to make country music this sacred thing that can't ever be joked about. That's really what it was about. Y'all got it up in your, you got up in your motherfucking pride over the shit. But yeah, I just thought it was funny, man. Like, I hate that it became so serious, to be honest, because it really was just a funny ass, like, this is what white people be doing joke, and then it got turned into some serious social racial commentary that I'm like, I ain't really come for all this.
Me either.
All right. Oh, it's just a doorbell. We got a package. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Let's get into, oh, and of course I closed that, so actually let's do one more story until Spotify opens up. Let's see what else we got here. Social media addiction should be seen as a disease, MPs say. It's in the Guardian UK. Social media addiction should be considered a disease, MPs have said, in the signs of the pressures facing technology companies and the growing concern over the impact social networks are having on users' mental health.
Who's the MP?
Probably, you know what, I'm not even gonna try to
I'm assuming guess. The doctor, but I might be wrong. But also I say, what is the MP?
Can you just Google UK MPs and
okay,
you tell me. The politician called for further research on the effects of social media, but said a report suggested there's good reason to believe sites such as Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, which are constantly competing for users to spend more time on their platforms, could be having corrosive effect on children. They always say children, but really it's all of us. It's paramount that we protect young people to ensure they are kept safe and healthy when they are online, said the MPs, who believe the government should urgently fund long-term studies to see whether a clinical definition for social media addiction could be introduced. The report was compiled by the all-party parliamentary group.
Okay, the parliament, members of parliament.
Okay, thank you. Party, by the all-party parliamentary group on social media and young people's mental health and well-being, made up of MPs who have an interest in the topic. The report was written with the assistance of the Royal Society for Public Health charity, which endorsed its findings following a series of evidence hearings. So yeah, the World Health Organization has already proposed including gaming disorder in the next revision of its International Classification of Disease manual, categorizing it as a mental illness in which increasing priority is given to gaming over other activities to the extent that gaming takes precedent over other interests and daily activities. For an individual to be diagnosed having gaming disorder, the World Health Organization suggests an individual should have shown significant impairment in personal, family, social, educational, or work lives due to computer gaming for at least 12 months. So I guess if you're missing work and all that shit for a game, they like, hey, you might have that disease, homie. But yeah, it's just interesting. I mean, it's they're probably ahead of us with it. I wonder if we would ever get there.
No.
I mean, our president is on that shit at 3 a.m. So, and I mean, mm-hmm. The companies have no incentive to make a healthier place. Mm-hmm. The incentive is to get you to stay there longer.
Yes, that's the whole purpose.
All right, let's get to some Guess the Race. Now that, wait, what did I say? Guess the Race. How far are we into the show? Let's get into some fucking with black people. Sorry about that. I'm all over the place today. I don't know what's going on. Let's get into some fucking with black people, guys. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game, we go all around the globe, find different articles, make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Let's see who's fucking with us today. This is a big one. People was mad at Jay-Z on Twitter this weekend. Well, I say people, but what I really mean is the wokes TM.
Okay.
It wasn't everybody. Mm-mm. It wasn't even necessarily a lot of people, but it was kind of like black academic woke, don't vote Twitter. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, like hammer and sickle, socialism is the only way, even though it's never successfully been done. Twitter was like on his ass. Okay. Because he reopened New York City's Webster Hall on Friday night with a star-studded legendary B-Sides 2 show that included a freestyle that everyone's talking about. And I actually went on Tidal and looked at the playlist for that B-Sides 2. It was actually pretty dope. I fuck with them songs.
And I've never heard the clip. I just seen it going down online. Like, he was rapping, right?
Yeah. I'm gonna play it.
Okay.
I'm just waiting on it to load. You know how it is. He was the opening act for the famous venue following a years-long renovation. He did not disappoint. The set included rarely performed tracks from his expansive discography. People always forget how much music this man has made.
A lot of it has never been released. Hmm. I wouldn't surprise. A lot of it has never been released.
Yeah, as a Jay-Z, like, fan, you know, I'm always like, taking for granted how much work he's done. I mean, there's just a time where it's like an album, at least an album a year for like fucking like 10 years or some change. Like, it was some crazy amount of no one produces music like that, you know. And it's kind of like people say they sick of him, but then here you go with the sales. He's still making money and still outselling a lot of acts, you know, as the guy that makes everybody so sick of him. And you know, and they jumped on that streaming thing before everybody else, really. So like, they was ready for it. Like, you know, when he basically made it so if you got a Samsung phone, you bought his album one time. Like, shit was crazy. I think we take it for granted, but you know, it's a pretty dope album. Oh, okay, I'm sorry, that's the Dead Presidents one. I'm sorry, I'm looking for the freestyle one. So he had he also brought Nas, Cameron, and Jim Jones out on the stage, outfitted with a massive Rockefeller chain, which is dope because like all those people are people that had beef with him at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool to see, you know, and I think Jay really does believe that shit and is developing as a person, and this shit is part of his journey. like even that squashing the beef with these other black men that y'all had prominent public falling outs, and he seemed to have done a lot to try to like make up for that shit and just be cool. Now it's not his fault that society doesn't really allow or like to see that.
No, they don't.
But he seems genuine in his effort to be like, yeah, it's not about me versus Nas anymore, even if other people can't let it go. So this is freestyle he had about Nipsey Hussle at the end. It was a verse about just,
I don't think they hit me though. Okay. Gentrify your own hood, but the people do it. Play eminent domain and have your people moving.
So right there he said, gentrify your own hood before these people do it. Claim eminent domain and have your people moving. So right there people was like mad just for the fact he used the word gentrify, even though to me it seems to very clearly be a metaphor or allegory. He is not being like literally go in and gentrify your neighborhood,
right?
But you know, not, he's not saying upper class wealthy black people, displace everybody out of these neighborhoods, invest in the property and then kick these people out. But I think people don't like him, so it doesn't really fucking matter what he says when it comes to this kind of shit, unless he finds some type of way to make cooperative economic bars, which will probably not be as hot because it's hard to rhyme things with the cooperative economics. But it was gonna be a problem. But I saw online was people jumping off at that point and just thread after thread after thread, tweet after tweet after, just ridiculous like diatribes on what's wrong with Jay-Z and what's wrong with black people that want to reinvest in the hood, and this is really just capitalism, and which I'm always kind of weirded out by, because it's like most of them same people go up for Beyonce, that's his wife, and they do be on this one accord about this kind of shit. And they do it. They're all about ownership, investment. This is the same Jay-Z that bails out people on Father's and Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same Jay-Z about prison reform. This is the same Jay-Z from the Khalif Browder documentary and the Trayvon Martin documentary. This is the same Jay-Z. So it's kind of weird to see people, I don't know, so flip-flop so fast on this dude all the time. But anytime he starts talking of that, you know, hey, we have to take, we're stuck in America, it's a capitalist world, we need to do what we can with money to try to like protect ourselves and our communities, because it's not happening another way, and this shit is going to happen, and like people are coming to your neighborhoods to gentrify whether you want them to or not. So we black people who have capital, who have the ability to invest in our neighborhoods, we need to be doing that. And I'll get to the second point in a second, but 2 weeks ago everybody was praising Nipsey Hussle for doing this, for talking this. Every interview he ever talked about was anytime he ever brought up ownership, reinvesting in the community, buying property and stuff, even commercial property, I saw the video shared. It's one of the reasons I was like, wow, I really see he had a lot of love and respect. I didn't know that.
Same.
Because that's all people were sharing. Okay, back to the verse.
Gentrify your own hood, but the people do it. Claim eminent domain and have your people moving. That's a small glimpse into what Nipsey was doing. But anybody's still confused as to what he was doing. The neighborhood designed to keep us trapped. They redlined it so property declines if you live by blacks. They depress the asset and take the property back. It's a ruthless but a genius plan in fact. So now we fighting over scraps. Crabs in the barrel, but crabs don't belong in the barrel. They ain't never tell us that. So in the barrel, we gon' act like we act. We can easily get out the barrel. We stand on each other's back. Whoever gets on top, as long as they stay attached, they can pull everybody out. I was doing just that. I told neighborhood nips to stay close. $100 million on your schedule, lay low. Tell your team to be on point in the places that they go. I never dreamed to get killed in the place that he called home. How we gonna get in power with you, source? Y'all like to run off on the plug, so of course. That ain't lit, that's a means to an end. Me and my team was playing the plug, I had a plan. Sometimes we was only making 1,000 a joint. That ain't no money, but that ain't their point. So those 92 bricks was only 92 thou. So y'all can close your mouth. It ain't nothing for y'all to wow. But it is time to study. We was chasing our goals, not chasing money. Niggas chasing hoes, we find that funny. I pull up in the rows, that hoe gon' want me. But I don't want no hoe, I want a wife. Somebody to bounce these ideas off at night. I be going to sleep hoping they visit me. That young king had a lot of jewels to split with me. And we ain't gotta leave the hood physically, but we gotta leave that shit mentally. Somehow, some way, we're gonna make it up out the hood someday.
So that's the freestyle that had people like I said, people was up in arms about that shit. I did not find it to be offensive.
No, they mad just for the sake of being mad.
You know, I did see people bringing up like he had brought the Barclays Center to New York, and that was a problem because it's like, well, this shit. He owned like 0.5% of the Nets, and he helped put the face on it to make that gentrification, da da da. And so I don't live in New York, so I can't speak to that situation. Right. I do know it was years ago. I mean, I throw out this theory that people seem to not really think about when they don't like somebody. Maybe he learned from that and changed his mind.
Come on.
I mean, it happens. You know what I'm like, everybody acts like it's an impossibility, but I mean, literally, we've seen him grow and change his mind about bigger shit in his life in a much shorter period of fucking time. Everybody still on this planet, you yourself don't believe everything you believed just a few years ago, and let's go back further. I mean, it feels like people like, and I think it's because he's successful and has money and he's a rapper, but people kind of rob him of the same humanity that we have for lesser successful people.
Come on.
You know, like the shit that they would grant like somebody they see as regular, they would not grant him.
Mm-mm.
But he was born in the Marcy Projects and he made it out, and he's been a constant development of trying to elevate his mental status and emotional status and like and learn. I've watched that dude go from unrepentant womanizer who, you know, was the conflicted, like, I feel bad, but I'm selling these drugs, dude, to the guy who goes, I kind of wish I could rap about politics and more important shit, but I understand that it's money first, the Michael Jordan approach, to, like, the LeBron James approach that he has now, which is clearly one of, like, yo, I'm pro-black, I'm very openly about black empowerment, I'm very openly political, anti-Trump, anti-Republican. And I mean, it's so weird to see people applaud this man for not performing at the Super Bowl when he was invited last year. He was invited. He wasn't like a lot of these niggas where it was like Super Bowl was never on the menu for me. So me talking about I'm boycotting is kind of, it's like me saying I'm boycotting.
Yeah, you were never gonna get invited.
Yeah, the black artists ain't gonna be in the Super Bowl, y'all. Like, y'all be like, of course, nigga, what?
They were looking for us.
Right, but Jay-Z was the first nigga to be like, uh-uh, I'm first choice and no. And then when other rappers and shit were considering it, he was calling people up like, man, don't do it, bro. It's funny how niggas went from rooting that on to one verse about investment in the black neighborhood, and it's, nigga, you just as bad as these white people. It's crazy to me. And it's like they are taking him at the worst interpretation of his verse possible.
Oh yeah.
Like, it, cause I don't find that these ideas are so fucking like ridiculous. Gentrify your own hood before these people do it. Claim eminent domain and have your people move in. That's a small glimpse into what Nipsey was doing. For anyone that's still confused as to what he was doing. The neighborhood is designed to keep us trapped. That's why I call it the trap. We've heard that before. They redline us so property declines if you live by blacks. Like, that's true. Ta-Nehisi Coates wrote about that. They depress the asset and take the property back. It's a ruthless but a genius plan. In fact, that's literally what gentrifying means when white people do it to us.
Right. And And a lot of that is why a lot of black communities don't have a space to where you got decades and decades and decades, because a worth for black people to actually stay in these areas.
That's why we have to rent so much,
right? Because every time you turn around, they, like you say, they don't provide the services that's supposed to be there. The police don't show up. Everything takes forever. The services aren't as good. Everything goes into a form of a depression. And they call a lot of places, call it the ghetto, whatever the ghetto in your city is. And then, like you say, because it's so cheap, they buy it.
Right.
And when they buy it, a lot of times, because it's not worth that much, they're paying these people a fraction of what they should get to move out, or either raising the property taxes so high they can't afford it anymore and shit like that. So then they have to move. And where do they go? They go to another neighborhood. They build a community there. And then you turn around and you do the same thing. That's why happens in Charlotte. Black people kind of hop around the cities.
Yeah. The thing for me is, what do niggas want then?
Right.
Because if you do nothing, the same shit is going to keep happening. Like, that's just like, it's this idea, like, well, we don't want black people investing in the neighborhood either. Like, well, the black people in this scenario are investing with the neighborhood in mind without trying to kick motherfuckers out. Like, let me raise the value of this neighborhood so that your house is now so expensive you have to leave. Like, that's not the goal of the black. There's this shit is gonna happen. It can happen with humanity or it cannot happen at all. And these white people come in and just do what the fuck they want to do. Nobody want to consider that he's advocating for something other than that. Now, I get that there may be some other magical scenario that people have in mind that could work, but them niggas ain't rapping it. They then you got to get better PR. You need better people. You need to convince people like Jay-Z then to spread your message, because this shit where it's just, I'm a flip on you for trying something is whack to me.
Right. Right.
And also the idea that he can never fucking change his mind, he can never change his opinion, is a fucking ridiculous thing to do, man. This is not like he changed his opinion over a day. This is years of him being like, okay, I'm thinking about this thing now. Okay, I'm talking about that. It's in his music. To me, it's as whack as the people that are like, well, Beyonce's a fake pro-black feminist because she wasn't always talking about pro-black feminists. It's like, well, guess what? You weren't either.
Mm-mm.
Nobody was born into this shit. Many of you, if you're living life right, have had the luxury of being able to be informed by more shit than what you grew up with. This is still a dude born in Marcy Projects. He was not supposed to make it out. You know what I mean? All this shit, none of this shit is supposed to be possible. It's like when Oprah speaks up and then people have to shit on Oprah. It's like, you don't actually have to shit on this person. It's fine to be like, this is their opinion, even if I disagree with it. This is the opinion and the art they're presenting at the moment. Okay. That doesn't make them a coon. This is a valid point of view. It's just not the one I wouldn't approach it this way.
Right. And that's fine. And I think the problem is that a lot of people have, if you don't do it the way I would do it, then it's pointless and it's ridiculous. Well, truth be told, a lot of people with these bright ideas, if they ever get to the place where they shit start getting implemented, people gonna criticize your shit too.
Right. It's just crazy, man. We're arguing about the fact that, not even arguing, because it's not really an argument, it's just a complaint, really.
Right.
But we're talking about, basically, we know these people in this area are going to get fucked. And Jay's like, maybe we can mitigate that by investing black dollars in there instead of white people's dollars, and then not fucking the people. And people are like, I don't want to hear the rest of that sentence. What I'm going to say is, you want black people to gentrify black neighborhoods and kick black people out. That's not what he said.
Not what he said at all.
So now we fighting over scraps. Crabs in a barrel, but crabs don't belong in a barrel, and they ain't never tell us that. So in the barrel, we gonna act like we act. We can easily get out the barrel if we stand on each other's backs. Whoever gets on top, as long as they stay attached, they gonna pull everybody out. I was just doing that. It's almost like motherfuckers would rather have the self-fulfilled prophecy of, once you're black and you're famous and rich, you are no longer black. Sometimes I think people are more comfortable with that.
They are.
Because anything else, and I have to consider some nuance of, somebody can have a conscience and have money and be like, how do I invest this in something to help somebody else?
Right. And I think for a lot of people, if they were in those shoes, that's what they would do. It's almost like you're black, but then how, I'm black and you're black, you have to be rich black, but how dare you remind everybody that you're black in front of these white people?
Right. And it's so wild to me because, like I said, we're talking about a dude that has changed his life in the last few, like, this is not just, oh well, you know, today he's on this shit, but tomorrow he's gonna be like, nah, fuck them broke niggas, man. It's like, hey, best thing you can do for black people is be rich, you know what I'm saying? Best thing you can do for poor people is not be one of them. Like, it's not that, you know what I mean? Like, so I think when people approach it with nuance, with context, people hate that kind of context. Like, they hate when you're like, okay, but big picture, this could be a valid thing that he is saying and that he has shifted his thinking on. Nah, because then that would mean I had to let go of like disliking this nigga, and I can't do that. So I would rather just be like, I'm holding him accountable to what he said before. Well, he's clearly saying the opposite now. Like, it's been long enough. Like, it wasn't overnight. He earned the right to change his mind the same way your ass do. Nah, fuck that. Because honestly, that is the addiction. I said something on Twitter today where I was like, or no, I think I said it here, where I was like, I don't think we as human beings can ever get over the idea of being able to judge. Like, being the perfect avatar of goodness that rains down and descends our opinion on other people, I don't think we can really get over it. We're all guilty of it, me included. Like,
yeah, same.
I don't think we're capable of saying this person may either A, have made a mistake, is making a mistake, or just doing something I disagree with, and going, that's their human journey and they may or may not end there, and they might not need me like coming down with like a ton of bricks on them with this shit, you know. Maybe they're just doing the best they fucking can too. And also, in all of that, I'm not going to ignore I've been there, you know. I think when right. You look at, if you're a student of history, just in America anyway, you should have or have probably been hip to the myriad of ways that black people have tried to circumvent racism in America and white supremacy.
They've tried everything underneath the sun, dog.
Right. And at some point, black people start shitting on each other for trying a different way than the way the other person tried.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about shit where it's like, I'm a Republican, fuck you niggers. I'm talking about stuff where it's just like, I think we can get it out by running for office and, you know, helping people out from political places. And I think we can do it by being activists, getting in the streets and agitating. Well, now I have to be your enemy because you disagree on the way to do this. So fuck you. You're a coon. That's crazy to me. But that feels like that's what a lot of this is.
Yes,
there is. And so him addressing it in the freestyle with the crabs in the bucket type, crabs in the barrel type of line, to me, that's kind of relevant because it is very much like, as long as you're in this, it's a very smart and relevant freestyle. That's all. It's saying that this barrel, America, this place where we're not supposed to be, has us acting that, well, we have to be each other's enemies and each other's like at odds with each other all the time. So we can't make it over this barrel. We can't climb to the top and pull anybody else up with you. It's kind of, that is the truth. It is that feeling of scarcity that leads us to being like, no, you're gonna get out and you're not gonna help us, or you're never gonna get out that way. You should only get out if you do it my way, you know. Meanwhile, everyone's trying to get out of the fucking barrel, you know. Everyone's trying to get out the barrel because they're not supposed to even be here. Anyway, I told neighborhood Nipsey, stay close. There's $100 million on your schedule, stay low. Tell your team to be on point in the places that they go. I never dreamed that he get killed in the place that he called home. How we gonna get in power if we kill the source? Y'all like to run off on the plug, so of course that ain't lit. That's a means to an end. Me and my team was playing the plug ahead of plan. Oh, I think it said and had a plan, but whoever wrote this said ahead. Sometimes we was only making $1,000 a joint. That ain't no money, but that ain't the main point. So those 92 bricks was only 92,000. So y'all can close your mouth. It ain't nothing for y'all to wow. Now he's still talking about that line where he said he lost 92 bricks and had to fall back. But it is something to us to study. He was, we was chasing our goals, not chasing money. Niggas chasing hoes, we find that funny. I pull up in the rows, that hoe gonna want me, but I don't want no mo, I don't want no hoe. I want a wife, somebody to bounce these ideas off at night. I be going to sleep hoping Nip visit me. That young king had a lot of jewels to split with me, and we ain't gotta leave the hood physically, but we gotta leave that shit mentally. I don't know, man. Like I said, I didn't find it to be so patently offensive, and I think the people who do, is more about, I don't fuck with Jay-Z, and whatever's coming out of his mouth, I'm gonna find a way to be like, fuck that shit. Cause, and we see it all the time with other celebrities and people. I think it's just human nature. I don't think people can help themselves. You know, it's Kim Kardashian getting someone out of prison that we all think is unjustly put in prison, and then we gotta find a way to be like, but that ain't shit.
Right, and not give her credit.
Yeah, it's just like a human thing, human nature. But I honestly, what, like, seeing all that down the timeline and then seeing it for myself, I was like, yeah, I don't find the insult to blackness in there.
No, and I try my best to fight against like that just that human nature. The older I get, the less and less, but like this, the older I get, the more I prioritize things, and it's things that happen and I go, do I actually want to put energy and effort into something that ain't gonna motherfucking matter? No, okay, I move on. I have my own thoughts and opinions, but it's not worth going back and forth with the wokeity woke, thou aren't woke people, because what I've come to a conclusion, you're going to have a subsection of the internet. They're always going to be aroused and just about something.
And it's something to talk about, but and it's happening, so then you want to siphon off of the event that happened, and well, you need to have the hottest take, and really the hottest take is to be like, everything he said was wrong and trash and bad, and then people can go, yeah, well, I agree, or, man, what the fuck you mean, man, that shit, because I also thought it was weird. And this is no shade to Jay or anybody, but I also think it's weird when people elevate him to the status of like the god. Like, it's his opinion. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how well researched and versed Jay is, because he doesn't really talk about that shit that much. So I don't know like what he's reading, what his philosophies are all based on. I just know through the music. But to me, it's like people are reacting both ways, and they're fighting with each other, where it's like, you can't say that this shit he said was like the greatest verse of all time, because this, it doesn't really make sense if you think about it. You can't use gentrifiers and analogy and all this shit. And then you got other people being like, this is the worst verse of all time, and Jay-Z's trash, and he's a horrible person. And meanwhile, everybody's team Beyonce. But it's just like, you see these things, and it's kind of like, damn, this conflict is so real, but what he said in that verse was also so real. And I also find it a little bit misplaced to have bigged up Nipsey for saying this same rhetoric for years. When he got killed, people were like, this is why he was so important. Jay ain't really say much different than that. So I don't know. And we got people in the chat going back and forth about all the gentrification like schemes and plans going on in their cities and shit. Like, it, like, I don't think, well, I think people listen to us do, but it's a fucking, it is a coordinated system of erasing us.
Yes.
Like, there has to be some intervention, and in America, the only intervention is gonna come through money. Like, y'all, rah, 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 all that talking is nice, but you ain't gonna be able to disrupt their systems without some level of financial input into the places that, cause that's how they game it. They have rigged this shit so that without that sort of fucking, like, intervention, you know. And I'm and in the verse, I feel like he's more talking to black people with means.
Correct.
Like, he's not saying, you broke niggas, this is why it's your fault. He's being like, yo, if you're black and you have the means to invest something in your own community, do that. You know, like, do that. He didn't say black people are to blame, this is, you know, you have a broke mentality and that's why you're broke. Like, he didn't say that. He didn't even get out your hood. Like, he's like, no, we can leave it mentally. Leave that mentality behind, because they want us pushed in there thinking these fucking fucked up anti-black races, oppressed thoughts. They don't want us thinking outside of where we come from, where we live. You know, they don't want us seeing a bigger picture. So I don't know, man. It just feels kind of, don't know, the whole system's rigged, but it's still like everybody was on Jay's ass for saying something. So, but like I said, I don't expect that to change people's minds that don't fuck with him, because honestly, I haven't seen anybody change their fucking mind on anything, period. Like, it's just right. I walked into this thing like he the greatest, or I walked into this thing like he's the worst, and I've never seen an exchange of ideas lead to people being like, I had not thought about that side of it. I have a friend that he was kind of on the like fuck Jay-Z tip, and I actually DM'd him because he's my friend and I respect him, and I said, so can you help, and he's from New York, I said, can you help me to like what it is exactly about this that's like so incendiary? Because I watched the verse, I know about the Barclays Center thing, but like, is it more to it where it's just so fucked up that he's the one saying it or something? Like, what, like, give me the game, you know? And we had like a long conversation, you know what I'm saying? And it was crazy because at the end I'm like, cool, I had not really thought of it that way, and maybe I'm not cynical enough with Jay-Z, maybe that's my thing. But he was also like, nah, you gave me a lot to think about too, in that maybe I'm putting more pressure on him than I would anyone else out of those projects trying to just give their ideas on what can help the community. And that's like, to me, that's a beautiful thing. It only can happen in the closed doors of some DMs,
right,
with two people talking to each other, because it's not gonna happen online in public. It's not gonna happen with these motherfuckers that are doing, you know, tweet after tweet defending him, or tweet after tweet harassing, you know, going on about him. It's only gonna happen in the context of like a conversation and not a debate. And so many people feel like this thing happened, now debate me.
Yes, and a lot of times, like I said, the biggest reason why I don't engage is because people have drawn their lines, people's minds are already made up, and we're not really coming to have a debate. We actually come just to argue, and I'm too old to be arguing with people.
All right, so anyway, 0 to 100, Karen?
I'm not fuck with.
Yeah, 0 for me, dog. Freestyle didn't fuck with me, man. The reaction was kind of wild, right? But niggas gonna argue about everything, so. And it is what it is. Melody Hobson and George Lucas. Melody Hobson is George Lucas's wife.
Okay.
George Lucas is, of course, the creator of Star Wars and mm-hmm. LucasArts and LucasFilms, and rich as fuck. So they are seeking to control of the historic Ebony and Jet archives.
Wonderful.
Johnson Publishing's company, recent Chapter 7 bankruptcy filing, which happened, I think, last year. Anyway, because of that, there's thousands of original pictures and records that are left threatened, but that could change the efforts from a powerhouse couple in finance and film. Ariel Investments president Melody Hobson and her husband, Star Wars filmmaker George Lucas, are seeking to control Ebony and Jet archives. I know some of y'all being like, George Lucas, the man who made Red Tails, mm-hmm. why the hell would he want to get Ebony and Jet archives? I don't trust this colonizer coming in here trying to control black people's stuff. So racist. Well, I would assume those of you who think that don't know Melody Hobson, his wife, who is a black woman. So if you've ever seen the interview with George Lucas promoting Red Tails and all that stuff, now you know that's why he put all that money in that horrible movie that any self-respecting black person would say, don't do this. But he was like, I gotta do something for the cause, man. I got all these billions. He gave away like fucking half of his fortune this nigga sold Star Wars to Disney and gave the money away. What? I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I think, isn't George, I want to say it's George Lucas had like a home, and he realized that people that like help assist and like do groundwork and all that stuff to his property were having to travel back and forth, so he ended up buying the property around him and having their family stuff stay there so that they wouldn't have to go back and forth. And people were mad in his neighborhood he did that. But he was like, why have them go back and forth when I can have them right here with their families?
Yep. Yeah, I didn't even hear about that story. I did not even know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He sold Star Wars to Disney and then donated the $4.05 billion that he received from the sale to a foundation focused on education.
And they probably did great work with that money too.
I don't even know what to tell you.
He was like, if I die, I can't take it with me.
I don't even know. Anyway, so yeah, they trying to get the original images of MLK, Malcolm X, Rosa Parks, Maya Angelou, Lacey
videos.
Hughes, and Muhammad Ali back for us.
Right, priceless videos. Somebody gonna buy that and that be up in somebody's home. We'll never see those photos again.
Also includes photos taken of historic moments like Emmett Till's 1955 funeral, images taken of the battered body, which his mother Mamie insisted on letting the world see, a Pulitzer Prize winning image of Coretta Scott King and her daughter Bernice at her husband's funeral in 1968, and a host of images published in both magazines from the civil rights movement as it happened.
Yeah, I think pretty smart. I forgot the Jet Beauty of the Weeks.
Now see, that's the one. That's the part of the.
That's the most important part.
Put that in the Negro Museum, okay?
Need his own wing.
Put that in there. I'll spend time in that section. I'll be like, oh, long walks on the beach. Okay, Pledge Delta. Okay, good for you, sis. Shout out to them. Mm-hmm. 0 to 100, Karen.
0.
I also would give this a 0. And as far as George Lucas.
Love and happiness. Yeah.
He come with the photo albums. Make you do
wrong. Come on down to the cookout, baby. Okay, bring all them photo albums with you.
Me and my wife got the photo albums. Bring your grandma.
I forgive you for Jar Jar Binks, okay?
Come on!
We are straight now. I know you was just trying to help.
Yes!
Come on, okay? May the force be with you and also some of this banana pudding.
Yes!
Okay? We got you, George, alright? Just go ahead and have a seat. You and your lovely wife. What can I get you this evening, ma'am? I would love to make you a plate, alright?
I know that they'd be like, the kids can't touch the photos. We don't want them ripping them up.
Right. Y'all leave Mr. George alone. Stop asking him about what's going to happen in the next Star Wars. You know he sold that. He's just watching like us now. Okay? You leave that man alone. Stop making lightsaber sounds. And let him enjoy his sweet potato pie in peace. Okay? George, I know you like them desserts. Come on through now. Vanilla King. At the cookout.
Yes, he's invited.
Okay, another one. Karen's two for two lately. I don't know if y'all been picking up.
Yes.
All this can't no white people come, and I think I'm gonna turn Karen.
Yes. No, it's three. It's them, Baskin Robbins, and
Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yep, Billy Ray Cyrus. I got three.
All right, let's. I'm just saying, slowly.
Not Baskin Robbins, Ben and Jerry.
Ben and Jerry. Oh yeah, that's four then. Ben and Jerry's two people.
Oh shit, voted
four white people at the cookout according to Karen. Now I'm inviting thousands, so they will all still be there.
Only four get my approval.
Well, that's fine. I just know the last four done made it, so we'll see how you feel. Just like Jay-Z, you're allowed to change your opinion over time.
Thank you.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race. The number one game show going across all the podcast land, where we read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, everyone playing is a Stone Cold racist. All right, our first contestant, Affidavit, a woman seen on a Snapchat video encouraging her teen daughter to fight.
Okay.
Austin, Texas, the home of Vince Young. A woman is facing charges after she was allegedly caught on in a Snapchat video encouraging her daughter and another girl to fight. According to an affidavit, the Travis County Sheriff's Office responded to Manor High School on Friday, where the assistant principal showed deputies a video of two students fighting in a neighborhood in Manor. Okay. Sound like they didn't have a lot of manners.
Mm-mm.
Assistant principal said the girls were both 14-year-old ninth graders and pointed out that the mother of one of the girls, 31-year-old Rayneza Joseph, was pacing around the girls and encouraging the violence. Court documents say Joseph was telling her daughter to fuck her up.
Oh!
And shouted, "There you go, beat her ass." Deputies say once the fight stopped, Joseph was seen stepping between the girls and telling her daughter's opponent, "Bitch, I fight a child. I don't give a fuck."
She looked like that meme of that woman that backed over that little girl to be floating around.
TCSO.
She said, "I fuck her kid up."
TCSO says Joseph arrived on campus to pick her daughter up for another fight around 9:20 a.m. Just after the deputy had seen the video, irate and screaming in front of the school. She was scheduling fights like the UFC. Like, come on, girl. You know you got a 9:20 fight. I don't got all day.
Was she betting on them?
Did you do your training today? It took me a long time to get this match.
You're right.
When the deputy attempted to speak to Joseph about the video, she allegedly turned around and put her hands behind her back, shouting, "Take me to Travis County, bitch. You think I give a fuck?"
Oh!
The deputy says Joseph refused the interview, shouting, "Just arrest me, bitch." Rayneza Joseph is charged with endangering a child. Karen, guess the race of Rayneza Joseph.
Oh, black by all the responses.
Okay, Karen's going black. Wow. Kind of shocked on this one. She's done whooped the teacher's ass and is the reason there's a bonnet and leggings banned at the school black.
Aww.
Don Nisha King Black violated the dress code at the drop off.
Aww.
We didn't even cover that story, but that's hilarious. Martin Payne's mama black, 31-year-old with time to promote her daughter's fight, Donna King Black, Cleo from Set It Off Black, Bonnet and Booty Black, Coretta Scott Don King, Lady Mormont adopted black mama black, black, black. The correct answer is all of you said black, and all of you guys are 100% right. Yeah, nobody missed that. I don't know how you guys knew.
She said, "I fuck a kid up."
That's her right there.
Oh, she did that shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She don't even, that was her take me to jail face.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, "Oh, I'm not even resisting arrest, officer."
Yeah, that's somebody said. She said, "Fuck them kids."
Fuck them kids.
Yes.
She gonna be starring in Ma.
Come on.
She in her
Ma sister.
She in her Ma cosplay.
Yeah.
Let's see, how about this one? Thieves distract a clerk to steal thousands of dollars worth of cognac.
Oh shit.
Mm-hmm.
Black.
Wow.
Who else is stealing cognac?
There's no extra points for speed, Karen. I'll read it for the rest of you guys though. Thieves stole two bottles of cognac for worth $500 from a family owned store in a Brazen, Robert caught on camera.
How expensive? What kind of cognac was this?
They have cognac that's $500 a bottle or whatever. Or was it both bottles? Oh, I'm sorry. They stole $500 worth of cognac. But still, that's $250 a bottle for cognac.
Cognac is expensive.
I had no idea.
That's why they sip the shit. It's too high to be guzzling.
I guess the latest man was fucking on to something. The thieves made off by distracting the clerk on duty at Liquor and Wine, a family-run business. Oh, they were professionals, said Emma Kang, whose family owns the store. Surveillance video shows four people entered the store on Tuesday around 7 p.m. They appear to be a man, a woman with a baby, and a grandmother. Oh, this is a family crime.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
The whole family.
Right? Damn.
That was like, we about to get lit tonight.
At least they was together. I wonder if the baby and the grandmama got some. Well, I know the grandma probably got some.
Oh yeah.
The group looked around until other customers left. Then the woman handed the baby to the grandma. It's hard to know for sure, but the victims questioned whether the baby was even real.
The baby might have been a ploy.
The way the neck, it went back, they weren't supporting the neck. Well, they also could be, I mean, that is also the patented way that cognac drinkers handle babies. The woman called a clerk, to the back of the store where he had some questions about wine on a lower shelf. Oh, the man did that. So he's like, hey, I got some wine, questions about this wine. As he distracts the clerk, the woman goes behind the front counter, grabs two bottles of Hennessy XO that cost $2.50 a piece.
Ooh, don't they know them ABC stores? Well, I don't know about y'all, but ABC stores got cameras all over the place.
She puts them in her skirt. She opened.
Oh, did a skirt have pockets? What the fuck is this?
She opened up the side and there was a little pocket and she quickly put it in there and then just ruffled it back together. Video shows the grandmother signals to the man that their mission is complete. The suspects eventually pretend to buy some wine, but when the clerk asks for identification, they claim it's in their car and leave. I hope that when they get caught, that people are aware of who they are and what they do. Kang said the group was quick. Only stayed in the store for about 6 minutes. Anyone with information, call the Vancouver police. So Karen, guess the race of the cognac thieves.
Everybody black.
Karen is saying black. Let me, and then I can't find the picture in this article. I had it earlier. Give me 1 second. Cognac thieves, Vancouver. I gotta have an image of this.
So obviously I was in Canada.
Vancouver, Washington, I believe.
Oh, Washington.
So America still. Yeah, America, not Vancouver, Canada. All right, let's check. That would have been maple syrup heist. Let's check the chat room. See what they believe. Spent my tax return on a 2011 Dodge Charger, so I got a hot this. I got a hot this lick black. The granny said, "Pass the Cavassier." Neat black that needed Hennessy XO to impress George Lucas at the cookout. Black.
Oh.
BC Armor, Washington. Ocean 12-11, Ocean 211 black. Set it off black. Mix gnarl black. Hennessy black. White cap caper cap capers. White capers. I don't know. Straight out of Trailer Park white Hennessy, and it was XO. That's a pack of niggas black. Just got paid Friday night, but I'm stealing this shit black. Drove the trailer to the store white. Stole the hot wings from the family grocery store next door black. Oh. Drank it with their big lips.
What is wrong with y'all? What is wrong with y'all?
Oh man. Drank it with their big lips. Wow.
Somebody say a non-IPA drinker's black.
Yeah. Well, I am looking at their picture right now.
Okay.
And I have to inform you all that 100% of y'all were wrong. They were not black.
Oh. Okay. Oh no, some people say white.
They also were not white. Now, I don't technically know what race these people is, but they were some kind of brown, and nobody said no kind of browns. So, and we don't know their names. We just know, they just had a surveillance picture. I will put it on screen, of course. As I always
so everybody
do.
Was wrong.
Everybody was absolutely, y'all racism led y'all astray.
Yeah, it did. Would it like them Negro adjacent drinks?
I don't know what race, and I don't want to say nothing offensive, but they have a look about them.
Yeah, they're brown.
That is distinctly not black and distinctly
not white. Mm-mm.
Not white. So they
got in and out.
6 minutes. That's a heist.
Ooh, that was a heist. That was planned.
Time heist. All right. I mean, it's a good plan, though. I mean, I'm not saying I can never come up with it.
Yeah, probably not the first time they've done that either.
Maybe not. All I know is now Karen is 1-1. Let's go to the brown. Mm-hmm.
double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is 1-1.
Yes.
But can she fix it in the bonus round?
I'ma try.
Well, it's worth double the points and double the racism to you if you can get it right.
Ha ha.
This comes with a news article. Let me see if I can. Of course, doesn't want to play right away. Okay, look like it's trying to play. Let's see if that works. You never know with this shit.
After police say she used a special trap to steal checks from an apartment complex. Mercedes Walker is charged with burglary. According to a police report, officers were called to the Greenbrook at Shelby Farms Apartments. A security guard told officers Walker tried to insert a yellow cord with a sticky mouse glue trap on the end of it to pull out checks and money orders from a deposit box. Thankfully, she was not able to get any.
Oh!
Karen, guess the race of Mercedes Walker, the ingenious trap queen, apparently. Glue trap queen.
Ooh, Mercedes was black.
Karen's going with black.
Her and Alexis was on the same team.
Are you going with the ancient trope of black people naming their kids after shit they can't afford? I see what you're trying to do here, Karen. Mm-hmm. So it's a courageous gamble you just took there. Let's see what the chat room believes. White. Black, Mercedes Benz black, all black as the link on the, those checks, as the ink on those checks, a nigga that rigs black, ingenuity check fraud equal meth head white, black, crack fueled MacGyver black, white with cornrows in the front, sticky fingers black, diamond in the back, sunroof top black, digging the scene with a gangster lean. I see, Miss Smart, the correct answer is, and y'all were very divided on this,
mm-hmm.
and Karen said black.
Mm-hmm.
It was black.
I was nervous for a second. I about said, if there's a white woman out there named Mercedes.
Mm-hmm. And of course, many of you blacks missed it. So that's it for Guess the Race. Let's get to the sword ratchetness and we'll get out of here, guys. Let's see what we got here. A Alaska man riding a longboard and wielding a sword, shout out to surf ninjas, jumps in the back the back of a truck to threaten the driver.
Oh shit.
Fairbanks, Alaska. A driver in Fairbanks feared for his life Tuesday night after another man allegedly jumped into the back of a truck wielding a sword. Oh, Alaska, the state that gave us the Palins.
Oh.
Derek Harris, 26, of Fairbanks, was riding a longboard on Old Steeves Highway in Fairbanks and brandished the weapon.
That's
Alaska.
Sound country.
Well, he had the Old Steeves, all right, of using a sword. New Steeves, got to buy, get a gun. Harris was headed into the direction of Farmer's Loop when he somehow got in the back of a truck headed there. That's when AST says he put the driver in the fear of their life. The truck stopped at the gas station at the intersection of Farmer's Loop and the Steeves Highway, and Harris allegedly threatened the driver with the sword. Harris was later arrested and charged with assault. Alcohol was a factor.
You don't say.
Probably the second biggest factor after sword. The police assisted in the arrest. So, assisted. What does that mean? other people had him arrested, then we just kind of helped a little bit. All right, guys, we'll be back tomorrow with comedian Kasim Bentley, so mm-hmm. thank you guys for listening. That should be, I think, at 5. So until then, and Wednesday is our Game of Thrones recap with JL Covan, so I know you guys are looking forward to that, and yeah, that's when it's happening. So until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.